Doreen, just fine.
All right, Doreen.
Let's see. It's exciting to me to share with you what God puts on my heart, because as I wrestle, I hear what I feel He's saying to me, and I like to release it to you to see how God wants to use it in your life. We have talked about the Jewish New Year, or at least I have, for the last year of 5776, and I use the PowerPoint that Chuck Pierce uses because I respect his prophetic gift, and I respect what he sees from God. And so we've been talking about the year of the ruling sword and giving God permission to cut away in our life everything that doesn't look like him. And seven talks about completion and the perfect, and we're all moving in that direction. I'm using now with that, coming up next month, 5778, the Jewish year, and 8 stands for new beginnings. And so he's been cutting away at us, preparing us for new beginnings. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
And so he has termed that securing your door to the future. I am asking God for my life and for your life that he will secure a door for our personal and corporate future and for our nation that no man can close.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He talks about that in Revelation 3, that he will secure for us a door that no man can close. And so as we look at that door, I believe one of the things that he's saying to us is expect not to go through the door to leave earth and go to heaven, but open the door to let heaven come to earth through us.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, yes, yes.
So he's calling us to his kingdom to do his pleasure.
Yes.
And that's what I'm chewing on deeply. And I don't have it totally digested, but I want to lay out to you the pieces that he's given to me, and we can chew on them together. God loves to encourage us, to give us hope, and saying, I'm actively involved in your life. And he uses signs and wonders to do that. And all of us have been involved just this last week in a sign and a wonder, which was the total eclipse that went across the United States, the whole United States. For the first time did we have a solar eclipse since 1776. And none of us have to be convinced that our nation's in turmoil, right? And we have to fight and wrestle with turmoil. And I believe God is saying, go back to your roots. Think, wake up, come to your senses. Why is this nation in turmoil? Because we've lost our roots. And we've tried to take God out of things. And he's our stabilizer. He's our life. He's our power. He's our everything. So that as you experience the total eclipse, I'm sure all of us have different stories. I waited too late to get any glasses, and Tim had some, so I happened to be over at his house, and he allowed me to look through the eclipse glasses he had, and at first I was taken off guard because I couldn't see anything. And then I finally looked at the sun, and I could see the sun represents the Lord Jesus Christ. The moon represents the church, and we are on this earth. And we have no light, no power, unless we're in perfect alignment with him. And so that's what we saw, was the perfect alignment with him. And when he did, I didn't spend a lot of time doing that, but I looked at pictures that some people had taken, and when it was perfectly aligned, there was some sparks that came out that looked like a cross, and there was other sparks that came out that looked glorious. And God said, when you're perfectly aligned with me, I'll do glorious things. So I believe that is our assignment as of now, in order to bring about heaven to earth and it's to come through us. You see, in the beginning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit said, we just love each other so much. Father said, I'd like to have some more sons like you, Jesus. And Jesus said, Father, I'd love to give you gobs of sons and daughters just like me. And Father said, and I'd like to give you a bride, Jesus. And Holy Spirit said, I'd like to make that real to them. I'd like for them to know that love, that power, that experience, that peace. And so they started. In the Garden of Eden, Jesus, Adam, and Eve experienced that intimate fellowship as a way of life. He talked to them in the cool of the day. And his heart was that from this state of innocence, that they get to know him and take the Garden of Eden to the rest of the world. And they would get to discover who their God really was. And as they were in that intimate relationship with Jesus, they'd know who they were because they were pleasing him, and it activated his image in them, and they knew who they were. But it didn't work that way, and Jesus knew it wouldn't. He knew in order to have a bride, sons and daughters, that he had to give them a choice. And there was a big risk when you give people a choice. They may do the wrong thing. But he said, I'm a bigger God than that. I'm a bigger God than that. If they do the wrong thing, I'm big enough when they turn back to me, instead of going from good, obeying, to spirituality and maturity, instead of that, they will disobey me and they will be crushed into the pits of hell in their inner being because they'll become self-absorbed instead of God-absorbed. But I'm big enough God, when they turn back to me, I can take that and turn it for good. Romans 8:28 is not a cliche, it's reality. Those that love me, I'll take whatever evil has happened to you and turn it for good. Yes, and that's the mysteries of God, yes, of watching him do that. And so we realize that Eve was tempted by Satan just as you and I are daily. Satan, the enemy, lost his intimacy with God, and he's jealous of mine and yours relationship. We got it better than he ever had or ever could have, and he's so jealous of that intimate love walk that we can have with him. And so what did he do? He did to Eve exactly what he did to me and you. He said, has God said, let's doubt this God. You can't trust him. Let's doubt him. And she said, well, we can eat almost everything. Just not this tree. But he said, if eat that one, we'll die. And he said, no, you won't. Contradicts God. And so it set the stage for all of us becoming self-absorbed instead of God-absorbed. So we have to turn the tables, move to a different level of moving through a door where we are God-absorbed instead of self-absorbed. And that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. We were made body, soul, and spirit, as this diagram shows. And we were made with an unregenerated heart. We come into this world, and as we make bad choices, our heart gets darker and darker and darker. When we come to God consciousness and we realize that he's our only way to life. We can choose life. But before that, we are so self-absorbed that Proverbs 16:25 describes what happens. There is a way that seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but at the end of it are the ways of death. How many of us thought, hey, this is what's going to fulfill me? Just getting a good education, getting a career, getting a good job, that's going to fulfill me. Did it? No, it was a good thing, but it didn't. Because only an intimate love walk with Jesus Christ will fulfill you.
Amen.
You may think, well, if I marry the right person, or if I get kids that obey and do right, and a better house and more clothes, blah, blah, blah. And there's nothing wrong with those unless you're expecting them to fill that place in your heart. They won't. They won't. He loves to give them to you as long as he's your life. I am aware that all of us have had pain. That's not news to any of us, because Jesus told us in Psalm 16:33, in this world, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have frustrations. There's going to be pain happen to you. But he said, good news is, I have overcome the world and deprived it of its power to harm you. And so I can say that personally today. There was a time in my life that a trauma happened that was so horrendous, I couldn't have ever imagined it would have happened. And during that time, what was my first response? God, can I make it through this? And how's it going to affect the people I love? And the good news is that during that horrific trauma, that was worse than I could have ever imagined, he gave me peace. He comforted me. And he strengthened me. And I was amazed. But I challenge you with the thing that I'm challenged with today. To walk with people that love God more than anything else. And be accountable to them. Be vulnerable to them. And grow with them. Because during that time, what was my first thought? God, can I make it? I was self-absorbed. But there was somebody in my life that said, Jesus, I'm so sorry that you didn't get the reward of your suffering. That person was thinking about the pleasures of God. And that when Jesus hung on the cross, every bad thing that has happened to me or you, Jesus experienced it 1,000 times more than we did.
Amen, that's right.
And he said, I will take it because I know the price has to be paid for them to be rescued out of the claws of the enemy. And I'll pay it. Because I treasure that love walk with them, that intimacy with them. I treasure bringing them to fullness with me. That's the only way I got through the cross. When I was pounded with every sin you've ever done, every rebellion you've ever done, every hell you've experienced. He said, I got through it because when they trust me, that gives me such joy that it was worth the price I paid.
Hallelujah.
And so this person said, Jesus, I am so sorry you didn't get the joy and the pleasure that you provided for this person. Every time we quench the Holy Spirit, say, I don't believe you're as good as you say you are, God. I don't believe you'll do what you say you'll do. I don't believe your power is great enough. I doubt you. We are hardening our own heart. But the good news is, God says, anytime you turn to me, I will soften it and we will work through it and I'll turn it for your good. I'd like to read for you the scripture, Mark 4, 35 through 41. And y'all are familiar with this. This was Jesus was teaching the multitudes and he got in a boat and said the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as it was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat upon the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? How many of us have thought that? Jesus, do you care the pain I'm in? How I'm hurting? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, here Jesus is sound asleep, because what has he said? He said, we're going to the other side. He knows he can do what he said he would do. And it doesn't matter how much water is sloshing up in the boat. It doesn't matter how the storms are coming. He can do what he said he would do.
Yes, hallelujah, yes.
They know him, but they don't know him. I received Jesus as my Savior at 9 years old. But I still didn't start walking with him intimately until I was 30, because I didn't know that's what he wanted for me and what he had provided for me. He stands up and says, peace be still. And then he says to them, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? Have you struggled with, I'm sure the disciples said, we missed it again. We don't even know this person we're walking with. We've decided to be his disciples, but we don't really know him. The wind and the sea obey him. Who is that? Brothers and sisters, for all eternity and starting now, it will take us, we will be forever discovering who our God is. And how wonderful he is. But the way we discover him intimately is to believe him. And if he says we're going to cross to the other side, he means it. So what could the disciples have said? Looks pretty scary. But see what our God does. He said we're going to the other side. It's going to be exciting to see how he pulls that off.
Hallelujah.
And so, our challenge, my challenge, is to eat God's word. And to eat God's word and let it be applied in my life. Let me get the... Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me a joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord of hosts.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, that's our challenge. What is the word? It's Jesus. the written word is Jesus written down. We think of him as Jesus Christ. The Father called him the Word many times. That's what he is. So if he says it, our challenge is to be stretched so that we have the capacity to walk through no matter what happens without being afraid. And stretched to see that he will do what he said he would do. Philippians 1:6, he said, I'll finish what I started in you.
Hallelujah.
Do you sometimes feel hopeless, despair, depressed? I keep missing it like the disciples over and over. You go back, you eat his word. He said in Philippians 1:6, I'll finish what I started in you. Now, what does he require of you? To give him pleasure. To look in his face and be God conscious, not self conscious. And that takes work. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect, useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Now it's probably not going to be what you thought it's going to be, but it'll be what pleases him. Can we trust him that his pleasure is the best?
Yes.
He says, if you will eat my word, let it be your life. I will do what I please. I will fulfill your purpose and it shall prosper.
Yes.
That's what we all want, is it not? As I was seeking God, God, I want to please you. What pleases you? How do I give you pleasure? He brought me to Psalms 147:10. He delights not in the strength of the horse, nor does he take pleasure in the legs of man. Well, what does he take pleasure in? The Lord takes pleasure in those who reverently and worshipfully fear him, not be afraid of him, but fear not to walk in his presence, because they know if they're not in his presence, they are a pawn for the enemy. So fear him doesn't mean be afraid of him. It means fear of taking your eyes off of him, fear of not being yielded to him, fear of not giving him full authority in your life to do it his way, not your way. The Lord takes pleasure in those who reverently and worshipfully fear him, in those whose hope is in his mercy and loving kindness. His mercy and his loving kindness, we've got to keep in mind that he's faithful, he's merciful, he loves us more than we could ever, ever believe anybody could love anybody. When Jesus said on the cross, after the 3 hours of darkness, you know, we just had 2.5 minutes of darkness during the eclipse. And some interesting things happened. Because the earth is groaning for fulfillment of taking the decay off of them. Romans 8 says that the earth is groaning. And we heard some crickets start cricket, and some birds start chirping, and some interesting, nature said, something's happening. God's given us a sign. He hasn't forgotten us. He's moving. He wants us to return to our roots. Okay, the 3 hours on the cross was dark when Jesus paid for all the sins, the rebellion, the ignorance that you and I have done, and the decay that's been on us. But at the end of the 3 hours, he said, it's finished. It's finished. Wonder what the nature did during those 3 hours. They knew that the world had changed. We can now walk by grace. The law has been fulfilled. when you receive his payment for you personally on the cross and say, I do, thank you for giving me mercy, which is what I don't deserve, and giving me grace, which is everything I need. You packed into me when I receive your payment on the cross for me personally. And then I read Colossians 2:10 that says, you are complete in him.
Hallelujah.
Do you feel complete? I don't. I know I'm not yet.
No.
But when he says you are complete in him, what's he saying? I look through you. I see Jesus. I see what he done. I see your potential. As you keep my eyes on you,
yes.
It
yes.
will be finished.
Yes.
You will be mature.
Hallelujah.
And as long as you're walking with him, there's no rebellion. There's trusting him as best you know how.
Yes.
You are complete.
Hallelujah.
Because Jesus is alive and he's being released through you.
Yes.
And when he's being released through you, that's purity. That's holiness. You're on your way. He said, I'm stretching you. I have everybody in your life that causes you frustration, aggravation is there to stretch you to push into Jesus. I can't do that. And he said, I know you can't. You do it through me, Lord, and I will respond to this person by faith as if I felt it. And you said, but I don't have enough faith. Let me, if you please, dispel a lie that the enemy has said. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is obedience. You just say, God, you said I'm to love this person, so I will love them as if I felt it until I feel it. And he says, that's my God. That's my daughter. That's my son. That's you allowing me to develop your capacity so that I bring forth your image. So we are complete in him. Who is the head of all principality and power? The enemy has no power except what you give him.
Yes, ma'am.
What you give him when you don't believe in the goodness
yes,
of God. You don't believe in his complete provision. So as I think about it, okay, we put on glasses to look at the perfect alignment of the sun with the moon. And when I look and keep my gaze on Jesus, I've got on eternal glasses. Now, where did I get that? I got that from 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Therefore, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, and we've all got them, but they feel heavy. But he says they're light, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things that are seen. And that's hard, isn't it? It's hard not to look at the things that are seen. But at the things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporary. Those are just temporary glasses. The people, the things, the circumstances, those are just temporary. Those are things God is using to stretch you to keep your eyes on him because he says the things that are not seen are eternal. So let's keep on our eternal glasses and knowing that what God says he means, he can do. And anytime we think he doesn't really love us, we are doing an Eve thing. We're doing the disciples thing. You don't even care about me, God. And he says, will you eat my word? And will you let it be in your life? Psalms 37:5-3-5, as I was meditating on this. Okay, God, you said you get pleasure when people keep their eyes on you. That's what gives you pleasure for us to walk in your presence. And he said, yes, trust in the Lord and do good. You say, but I don't know what to do. You do too. You walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You love others. And you will dwell in the land. That means dwell in His presence. And feed surely on His faithfulness. And surely you shall be fed. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll on and repose each care of your road on Him. Trust also in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. That's the way you do it. Whatever's bothering you, throw it on Him.
Amen. Show enough.
And say, God, I know You're faithful, and I know You do good. And You are allowing this to develop my capacity in You. I want to close with this scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:9. As the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love Him, that is, for those who hold Him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying Him in affectionate reverence, and gratefully recognizing the benefits He has bestowed. What is the hardest thing for you to believe about God concerning you? You see, all of us have had damaged glasses put on us. And none of us have lived with perfect parents or perfect people, and we're not perfect. And so our glasses have been damaged, and it's easy to project on Father the damage people have done to us instead of forgiving them and looking to Father. One of my damaged glasses was I knew God loved me, because His Word said He did, but what I had a problem with, did He delight in me? I think, no, most of the time He probably doesn't. He probably doesn't delight to just be with me. Let me read. Do you feel loved by your Father? Do you feel pleasing in His eyes? Do you feel like you've got a purpose? Or do you feel ashamed? Do you think He just couldn't forgive me or accept me or be secure in His love? I want Gary to pass these out to those that are interested, because the teacher in me, I love to grow with the God. And on this side of it is the things of how God feels about you. And one of the things that, because the people I wanted approval from didn't seem to delight to be with me. They seemed to want to change me. And they didn't like who I was. If they did, they didn't tell me. And so that made me very sad. And it's hard for me to believe that God delights to be with me. But I'm learning. I would cook well, clean well, do well for those around me, so hopefully they would delight in me. And that's one of the privileges of living alone. Say, Jesus, You delight to be with me today. I go to my garden with You, and You're delighted just to be here with me. So I clean for You. I cook for You and I to enjoy together. And there's other benefits of that. I can't blame somebody else when the floor's dirty. I had to do it. I had to assume a responsibility of it and clean it up. So I give these sheets to you. And I want you to look on the other side. The other side shows all of us have damaged reflectors, damaged glasses. And you look to see what it is you have a hard time believing Father for. And then you start eating His Word and letting it be true in you. You eat it until you believe it. Faith is simply not a worked up feeling. It's simply obedience. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, let's dissemble that word believe. It just means obey. So if you will obey as if you felt it, you will be receiving and walking by faith. And God says, then you'll discover how much I love you, how pleasing you are in my sight, and you'll relax in my care and let me fulfill in you, because he enjoys the process. He enjoys the process. Let's embrace and enjoy the process, okay?
Yes.
Father God, I thank you that you're our Father. And I thank you that when we don't know what you're like, all we have to do is look at Jesus. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we look in your word to discover who you and the Father is. And we say, thank you that you took on flesh and blood to be a man like us for eternity because you loved us so much. Thank you, Jesus, for that, for becoming one of us and securing the victory. So if anyone's not sure that they belong to him, it's real quick interchange. Jesus, I accept your payment on the cross, your shed blood for my sins right now. And immediately he comes into your heart. And he says, okay, now we're on an exciting adventure for you to learn to trust me as a way of life. So Father God, I pray with everybody in the sound of my voice that there is a new walking through a door to a new dimension to bring you pleasure, because as we concentrate on giving you pleasure, it's exciting to see how you turn it around and we're pleased. But it doesn't work the other way around. If we try to please ourselves, we just get self-absorbed. So if we try to please you, he says, I've got better things from you than you ever dreamed of. Just watch me work. See where my hand's working. Observe me in signs and wonders and know that I'm using those to draw you to me so we can be intimately involved as a way of life. So, Father, I thank you for how you're working in all of our lives. I thank you that you're stretching us so that we allow you to be our God as a way of God and to bring you pleasure. So I bless each of us and say thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is working to draw us to Jesus, to know him more, to bring pleasure to him, which not only delights him, but fulfills us. In Jesus' name, amen.